Caesar come, O Lord, I pray, before thy sword take thou away. Yet answer still as there he knelt, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
More I see my Savior's face, it shines anew.
Leads us risen from the tomb. Christian greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be where He's told us if we gather together, two or three of us, that He'd be there in the midst with us. If our eyes could be open this morning and we can see God here, and we can see the angels of the Lord here, and do something for us. But He's here, and He's here to speak to each one of us. Before I start, I want to mention my wife mentioned before we left, she said she didn't get to come this morning, but she wrote a little note, and she said, "Dear church family, your love." And generosity the past 6 weeks and more have been such a blessing and comfort. May our Heavenly Father reward you richly. And I think that's our feeling this morning. We appreciate your prayers, appreciate the meals and all that you've done. And most of all, we just are so thankful for the help of God. You know, but for His mercy, some of us could not be here this morning, or especially her. I'd like to look, if you want to follow along with us, over into the book of Genesis. And the 24th chapter. Maybe I should ask here, are there more songs after the message? Okay. And I was thinking, especially this morning, what can we pass on to our young people that we saw up here? What can we pass on to them that will stand them in good stead as they live their lives, if the Lord tarries, and will stand them in good stead when they come down to the river of death, that'll keep them during that hour and present them in a glorious way to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is it that we can give them that will hold them when the pressure's on? And in Genesis, the 24th chapter, I'd like to read a little here. I believe that Jesus is the bridegroom, and the Holy Spirit has been sent out into the world to gather the bride together, get the bride all ready. When the bridegroom comes back, the midnight hour strikes, and the bridegroom comes back, that there will be a pure, spotless, white bride all ready for Him. And He loves His bride, He loves His church, He loves His people with an everlasting love. He loves us more than what we can even begin to think or comprehend. One of these days is going to be the last great day, and time is going to disappear. Eternity is going to begin, and we're going to come to the place, whatever we're prepared for, if we're properly prepared, we'll be a happy people. And that's what we want to do today. We don't want to cut any corners. We want to stay as close to the Lord as we can, because Jesus is coming soon. And I thought of this chapter here in Genesis, particularly as Abraham was sending out his faithful servant to get a bride for Isaac. And maybe before we even read here, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come this morning with grateful hearts for what all that Thou hast done for each one of us. We thank Thee for the protecting hand of God upon us, Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art here to go with us down through the valley of the shadow of death, and thou art able, Lord, to give us a triumphant entry into the great city, the celestial city that's prepared. Jesus went back to prepare a place for his people, and he's coming again. Oh, Father, we pray this morning that thou will help us, that all these other things will mean nothing to us, but, Lord, that we shall seek first the things that are the most important. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. We pray that thou will have thy way in every part of this service, Lord. Speak to our hearts and deal with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think I'm going to look over, just keep your finger right there in Genesis 24. And there's two different attitudes that we can see real quickly here. On the one side, we have Abraham and a faithful man of God. And we see that he has a godly servant, one that sought the Lord's will, and how that he went out and God went before him. And on the other side, if I'll read a few verses from Judges, just to sort of get this in our mind, there's two different ways we can go. We can take the way the faithful Abraham and Isaac, or we could take the way in Judges 14, and Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. That's one attitude. Now let's look in Genesis, this 24th chapter. If anything I could pass on to you young people, if you can stay close to the Lord, stay to the place where you can get down beside your bed and you can pray all the way through. You can pillow your head in your, put your head down and weep your heart out to God and tell him all about your struggles. And young people have struggles. All of us have been back in that place through life when you're trying to find your way and seeking for the help of God. Without his help, there's no hope. Be so thankful that you have Christian homes and people and parents that are concerned for you and are trying to point you the right direction. And that most of all, that you can come in contact with God and stay close to him. In Genesis, the 24th chapter, and Abraham was old and well stricken in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. So it's just sort of an opposite situation here. Abraham, the father, he's concerned over his son that he don't go out into the world under the people that's going to draw him away from God, but that he finds someone of God's people that he can have a faithful companion that'll be willing to be with him and stand with him when things are rough and things are going maybe the wrong way. You know, as we build and a part of building the church of God, it's going to take all of us. Fathers, it's going to take you leading out, being leaders, not spineless critters that simply cave in to everything, but standing for the truth and selling it not, doing it in the right way, living for God from the heart. It's going to take godly fathers, fathers that are willing to spend time alone in prayer. And on the next thing, it's going to take godly mothers, mothers that are real helpmeets to their husband. They're right behind pulling and praying for them. So many times I've left out the door and my wife has told me, "I'll be praying for you." And I've gone down when my mother was still alive and was with her. And I'd tell her about maybe going to preach someplace or whatever. And she says, "Steve, I'll be praying for you." Now, I tell you, that meant more to me than if someone had given me a $1,000 bill. It meant way more to me. And it means more to me when I stand before a crowd and look back and I see that there's people that I know that are praying for me. They're praying for me. You know, when the minister gets up here, he can't do it in his cell. He's got to have the help of God. And if, unless he has the prayers of the saints, it'll be just a big flop. That's all there is to it, or just a speech. But if we have God, we have everything. If we don't have him, we have nothing whatsoever. Abraham, getting ready to send his servant out. And he said, "But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from which thou camest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." He shall send his angel before thee. And I believe that scripture that speaks about the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth him. And I believe that's for every one of us that's here today, that God's angels are messengers to the heirs of salvation. They're messengers for you. He puts his angel over you and protects you. If the angel of God didn't protect us, the devil would snuff us out in a moment of time. But God's mighty hand is able to keep us and to protect us and help us to make it home safely, home to glory. So you can be encouraged when the way goes rough and you don't know which way to turn. And some of you young people especially, I'd like to give you encouragement. Realize that if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that is within us that is in, than out in the world. God is almighty. He's able to take us all the way through. And when the time goes rough for us, if it simply drives us to our knees in prayer and we find a place of fellowship with him and we can pray until the glory of God comes down upon the heart of upon our heart, and we realize that he's listening to us, he hears us. We're not just going through rituals, we're not just going through other things, but we're wanting God's divine presence to be with us and to overshadow us. That's what will keep us in the time of struggles. If the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from my oath, and only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And I'd just like for you just to notice this. All through the Old Testament and into the New Testament, many, many places, God's people found a place of prayer. In the Old Testament, they would build an altar, a place to get along with the Lord, a place of prayer, a place of contact with God. And It's exactly what he did here in verse 11. This servant was concerned. It's not that he was the most mighty man underneath Abraham and he was in control of all of Abraham's goods, his hundreds and thousands of camels and all the other things that he had, but that he was a servant of the living God. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad this morning that we can be children of the King? We have nothing to be ashamed about. Someone said when you're walking down the street, you don't have to tuck your head and be ashamed of anything. You can square your shoulders and think, not in pride in any way, but in humility, thank the Lord that I am the King's child. I am His and He is mine. He's my God. I am His child. And it's only through the precious blood of Jesus that we can become one of the children of God. Well, he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby may I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Have you ever thought how wonderful it would just be to sit down with Jesus and in person just say, Lord, I've had questions about this, what I should do, what I shouldn't do. I just want to know what you want me to do. And if I just know what you want to do, I want to do it more than anything else in the world. You just think, if I could just sit down by the master and just talk to him personally. I'm sure that all of us at times we've thought of that. But you know, he said he was not going to leave us comfortless. He wasn't going to go back and to prepare the mansions and just leave us down here comfortless. But he said he would send the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit of Christ would come within us and dwell within us. And not only would he be like in person, he would talk to this multitude, but there were other people he wouldn't be with, but he would be with every single one of us that are Christians, living and dwelling within our hearts. The scripture speaks about the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts and shedding his love abroad in our hearts. And that's one of the most important things. If we never have anything else, we have to have that charity. The scripture speaks about we can give our bodies to be burned. We can do all kinds of things. We can have faith to move mountains. But if we don't have the divine love of God, we have nothing to start with. But when he comes in and makes us a new creature and we're his and he is ours, then we're ready to start in the race towards heaven. And we've got something that will hold us because the Spirit of Christ, the hope of glory, is dwelling within us and we have him and he is ours. Well, this servant had kneeled down and asked the Lord a petition that the Lord would direct him in finding this wife for for Abraham's son. And verse 15 is really something. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out also, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water out of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Has that ever happened to you where you didn't know which way to turn and you prayed fervently and you meant it from your heart and it just seemed like that almost immediately God answered prayer for you? Now, it doesn't always happen that way, does it? But every once in a while, the Lord gives us a special little oasis in the desert. And maybe we're sort of feeling dry and like in a desert land. And he just brings us right up to the springs of living water, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. And as we poured out our heart into God and just standing there completely helpless and completely desiring the help of God, then all of a sudden, it just seems like God's presence comes down. And he meets our need, whatever it is. We've gone through dark waters. We've gone through places that without the help of God, we could have never made it. And I think of, you know, we got the little children clear down, sitting on their mother's laps, on up until up towards the teens and the teenagers getting on up, and then the young families, young married families, and then they start getting older, and next thing you know, we've got all the gray hairs and the wrinkles, and we're not like we used to look one of these days, but we've got a lot of experience behind us that we wouldn't want to have to go through some of those things we've gone through again. But thank the Lord, hitherto has the Lord helped us. Aren't you glad that we can say it's God that helps us, and God gives us the victory. And we didn't pull ourselves, some people talk about pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. Nonsense. In the Christian's life, if we don't have the help of God, we're hopeless creatures. But God is the one that makes the difference. Well, this man was, they're just wondering and thinking that God has made his journey prosperous. Now, I'd like to look down just a little bit further. And in verse 37, he's telling the ones there, "And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and go to my kindred, take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And he related the story to her family, how God had brought him here. And step by step, how God had answered prayer, how Rebekah had come out and answered to his prayer. And he mentioned how she came out, and he said, Before I had done speaking, in verse 45, in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. Now, after he got done relating this to Rebekah's family, in verse 50, it says, Then Laban and Bethuel answered, and he said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. And here again, I'd like to say, if we're not in contact with God, if we have not come to the place where we surrendered all and give everything to God and got old self off of the throne of our heart and invited the Lord to come in and take over the kingdom within our heart. If we've not come to that place, we can't realize the blessings that God has for us. But young person, every one of us can have God. We can have his presence. We can have his guidance. We don't just have to grope out there and try to find our way, but we can learn the secret of getting alone in prayer and praying all the way through. And when it looks like we don't know which way to go, learn to wait upon the Lord. Just wait there in trust and confidence and faith, knowing that God will not fail us. And I'd like to share the end of this wonderful story. When they said that this has come from the Lord, and they asked Rebekah if she was willing to go. Wilt thou go with this man? And I believe that she was a godly young lady. Oh, I want to see more godly young men and young ladies. Real examples, like Paul said to Timothy, be an example to the believer. Be an example, you young people. Be an example to some of the old gray-haired people here. That will encourage them, that they realize that there's some young people that's willing to have some convictions that are built upon the scriptures and stand for the truth. And they're not willing to compromise with the world, but live a holy life and be ready for a holy heaven prepared for a holy people. We can each one of us personally be that. It's not the one that's sitting beside you or somebody else that you have confidence in, but God wants you to be his young person, his young man, his young lady. And that goes for all of us, middle-aged and elderly. God is able to take us all the way through. Now notice a wonderful story. We have a young lady that was following the leadership of God, Abraham and the servant. And now as they head for the place where the bridegroom is. And verse 63. And this has always been a special scripture to me because I think it just ties right in with a holy family life, a Christian family. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Here was a young man that he knew, no doubt, that the father had sent the servant out to get him a bride. And what was he doing? He wasn't going running uptown and buying this and buying that and getting all kinds of things to get ready. He was out in the eventide in the evening getting along with the Lord. And he was meditating on the things of God. Oh, if we can learn that secret. I remember when I was in Bible school, there was many a time up in Salem, Ohio, that I'd slip away from all the studies and all the other things, the good things that were there. I'd find a place. And I would slip back in. There were some woods back behind the Bible school campus. And there was a little creek that ran down through the woods. And I'd go back there among the trees and God's nature and the birds singing and all this and walk along the creek and through the woods. And I would pray and seek the Lord's help. I needed help from God. I couldn't do it myself. I was on a journey through life, and this is the most important thing. If I didn't gain a lot of other things, if I gained God and his direction and the direction of the Holy Spirit, then I had everything. And I know there were a lot of battles fought back there. I went through some rough places, all of us do. But thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. We can go from faith to faith, and we can go from victory to victory. Sometimes we have our mountaintop experiences, and sometimes it seems like we go sailing down in the valley, and oh, Lord, we need special help. And then he just directs us when we're down there. Just look at the bright and morning star. You can see the bright and morning star. Jesus is there. You can see the lily of the valley. He's there, the lily that's more perfect than Solomon in all of his great array. Jesus is the one that will put away our fears and the darkness and the heaviness and give us victory. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. God was answering prayer for him. No doubt he thought, Lord, what would we think? Well, this is not the way it works for us, is it? A young man chooses a young woman, and if she likes him and he likes her and they get together, that's one thing. But now this servant had gone out to choose his wife, and he didn't have a lot to say, but God did. And he trusted in the Lord, and now God was answering prayer for him. And here were the camels coming, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, and there they were. He was comforted. His mother had slipped away, and he was grieving, but God had given him a precious bride. And you know, every one of us can be a part of the bride of Christ, waiting for Jesus to come again. He's coming soon. The world's not looking for him. They say, well, preachers have preached this ever since we were little children. He still hadn't come. One of these great days, he's coming again. Some of us are going to go ahead the ways of death. We're going to die before that. But there is coming a day when everything is going to stop. And those that are ready, those that have been prepared, their hearts are washed in the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit abides in their heart. The bridegroom is coming back to receive his glorious bride, that pure white church of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we just pray this morning that each one of us will put the most important things first in our lives. Help us to realize that all the trinkets that this world can offer us will never satisfy the deep longing of the soul that wants God and that needs God and must have thy help. Oh, we're so thankful that hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But life is not over yet, and there's a race to be run. There's a fight to be fought. And we pray that thou will help us to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. And by the help of God, that thou will call us home to glory. Speak to each one of us and help us, Lord, to draw close to thee, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joy dawned again on Easter Day. The sun shone out with fair array. When through the longing eyes restored, the apostles saw their risen Lord. His risen flesh with radiance glow, his wounded hands
In your defaults, drown. We are yours.